G'day folks, my name is Eric and I am a complete noob at this audio drama stuff. So when I want to know what to do, I listen to the award-winning Audio Drama Production Podcast. Unfortunately, those guys aren't available this week, so instead, here's a couple of random screwballs sitting in a car crapping on about some hobby or something. Enjoy!
Hello and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. We are all about the making of audio drama, and if you are too, then this is the place for you. And my name's Robert, I'm here with Matthew, and why don't we tell you a little bit about the website? It's audiodramaproduction.com. Go there after the podcast, why not, and check out more of what we're all about. So, what's happening this week, Matthew?
Well, just quickly, thanks to Eric for that humorous intro, and we're actually out of intros. If you want to introduce the podcast, please don't make us introduce our own podcast. We're award winners now. We need other people to do that for us. Yeah. So I think we're out. So basically, get one in before next week if you want to be on the show. Plug whatever you're doing as well while you're at it.
Maybe we could get a foreword by Stephen King. This is a podcast. And that's it. And that's the only thing we could get him to say. But hey, and then write, put 5 stars underneath and insinuate that he gave us those 5 stars.
Good. That's a good idea. So on the show this week, we've got quite a lot to get through. We want to talk about the rise of the docudrama. And we also want to talk a bit about the sort of audio drama, audio book confusion on Audible, and that relates to last week's show and the subsequent release of Lock and Key. So before we get to that, I mean, we talk about the docudrama, Robert. We've been very recently listening to The Black Tapes and The Message. These are two sort of, I think docudramas are a fair enough term for them, isn't it? It's like, you know, it is audio theatre, but done in a sort of documentary style.
Yeah, and it definitely is fiction. You know, these aren't true accounts of people saying things or answering questions. It is fiction. So docudrama is the phrase that seems to have popped up, and why not? Because we need to be able to differentiate, as you hinted at, between audio drama, as what we call the things that we make, audiobooks, and docudrama, which, well, how would you differentiate the two? I would say there's less action and more kind of found footage style goings on with the docudrama. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. But before we really look at and sort of analyse the docudrama, do you think the popularity of these shows, do you think this is something we're going to see a bit more of popping up? I think maybe, you know, it probably has a lot to do with the success of Serial, which wasn't, you know, a docudrama in any sense. It was just really a documentary podcast series, hugely successful. As far as I know, well, it's been made into a TV show. As far as I know, that's the first time that's ever happened, a podcast being made into a TV show. Begs the question, if they ever made the Audio Drama Production Podcast into a TV show, who would play us?
James McAvoy.
I think I would have to go with Grace Jones for me.
Grace Jones. I
often get mistaken for Grace Jones when I'm in the shops. So at least we've sorted that out, if nothing else, on this episode.
Ewan McGregor for me again.
You just shout Scottish. Yeah.
Just shouting Scottish handsome guys that could be my stunt double. I want to play myself.
So, yeah, Serial, obviously very successful. And, you know, I think the Black Tapes, I think they almost certainly came after Serial.
Yeah.
Amazing how quickly they seemed to gain an audience. They were getting a lot of downloads, it seems, a lot of interaction. You could tell that just by looking at the amount of reviews that they've had on iTunes. And again, The Message is an interesting story behind that, because this podcast actually been made in part by General Electric, the big company in the US. I read an article about this. I'll look it out and put it in the show notes. But apparently, the aim was really just to get, you know, younger sort of tech savvy people to interact with them and notice them, basically. So it's interesting that they've essentially chosen audio fiction to do that, and not even, you know, audio books or that, but, you know, essentially dramatised audio fiction, isn't it?
Yeah. It reminds me of, you know, the crisp quavers? I don't know if they're available in other countries, but the crisp, the quaver, bag of quavers. They brought out a computer game once upon a time, many moons ago. And it's just one of those cross-marketing things where a company will try to cash in on what's going good at the moment, I guess. But if that's what it takes, then great. If anything, it's a great sign that audio fiction or podcasting is a real and up-and-coming thing. So all power to them, I say.
So you asked the question about, you know, what really makes a docudrama.
Yeah.
And, you know, these two certainly are done from the perspective of people who are making podcasts. And it's almost like investigative journalism in both shows. They're, you know, one's a sort of an alien type take, isn't it? You know, an alien style secret. The other one's more supernatural.
Yeah.
And you've got like an ongoing investigation, and the way it's laid out is it's like a series of interviews cut with the narration of the presenter or the producer of the podcast, and it's just mixed together really well. Would it be fair to say, Robert, that, you know, not necessarily in terms of writing, but in terms of production, this would be much, much easier to execute than your traditional audio drama, where you're micromanaging things like footsteps and, you know, basically building a complete world from scratch? If you think about, you know, a lot of the pieces that are recorded for these docudramas, it will just be a case of sitting a Zoom on a table, you know, essentially doing what we're doing now and, you know, putting it in at the show.
Yeah, we could write and produce an hour-long podcast like this every week, if that was the case, if that's what we were doing, if we took away all the things that we normally put into our stuff. I'm not saying we're great writers, but we'd be able to put something out, and we'd be able to produce it very quickly, very easily, and I guess that's the difference, isn't it? That's why soap operas, they can put it out a couple of times a week, whereas an action movie, a big budget movie, takes like a couple of years because of the difference in production. So that, I guess that's the pull of it, isn't it? That, hey, we can do something really simplistic production-wise and get it out there. And it's often the simplicity of things that becomes appealing. Like, I'm going to talk about We're Alive and Edict Zedo again. I am. We're Alive, very accessible because the plot isn't overly complicated. The dialogue isn't overly complicated. A lot of the action early on isn't too complicated. It eases you in, and you're able to follow it very easily, whereas the one, dare I say it, complaint I might have about Edict Zedo is it isn't for everyone, because it's very dense. There's a lot going on with the soundscape, the production. There's a lot going on with the script. It's all fast-moving and intense, which I love, but not everybody does. So that's the difference, isn't it? Maybe accessibility is what's making Serial popular, what's making Black Tapes popular, is that it's easy to listen to, and you can get pulled into it, and your belief has been suspended because it's not too out there. It sounds real. Dialogue, people are talking to each other, so it's not just narration, and you're just listening to conversations. It's easy. It's easy all round. Easy to make, easy to listen to, and I think that's what's making it successful.
So you think it's almost like you know, it's probably fair to say, like, most people aren't quite ready for audio drama yet. It's just not in our culture. And, you know, regardless of what people say internationally, that is the same here in Britain. You know, people, I think, they think it's, you know, the BBC's got this big foothold with radio drama and stuff, but that's really not the case. I barely know a single person, at least locally, who listens to any drama on the BBC. So something like this, you know, we say it's, these shows have gained popularity really quickly, much quicker than most traditional audio dramas. So it's interesting that this might be a bridge. Once people are receptive to those sort of shows, they might find it easier then to transition into your more traditional audio drama. Another question I wanted to ask you, Robert, was, is this a really good route? Because we say it's easy to make. I mean, you know, the writing would still be difficult because you've still got to execute a great story.
Absolutely, and that is a great skill. And I do purely mean the production side of things. So when I say easy to put together.
Do you think this sort of approach is a great idea for someone who's a writer and isn't too heavy into the production. You know, they're able to load up a multi-track and mix files down, but they're not really interested in getting too deep in the production. Is this something that's a great option for them to get a show out and actually get a show out quite regularly and build an audience?
Yeah, definitely. And I've got like a dozen mini ideas that are basically just a conversation or two that could go into something. And I've often thought, why don't we just, you know, get it written up and get it produced, where it's a conversation between two people in a mental hospital or something, and it turns out at the end, dun dun dun, you thought he was a doctor, but the other one was a doctor, and he was the patient all along. What are those type of things? And it is purely just two people having a really weird and interesting conversation. So why not? Yeah. Whether it's your first step into audio drama, or if it's actually the sort of thing you prefer to do, you're all about the dialogue, you're all about the story, narration and dialogue, and maybe this is proving that you don't need to make every footstep and every door turn and every screech of the car's wheels. I think it comes down to individual tastes. Some people just want narration, they want audiobooks, and they don't want all this stuff going on, and they can't see it because they're used to using their eyes to tell the story, you know, or to receive the story. And maybe some people want Edixido, which I do, and maybe this is a middle ground that's proving a great catch-all.
What about then, you know, we had Dirk Maggs on the podcast last year, a great interview with Dirk Maggs, and he had quite a lot to say on reported action. You know, he's very pro the fact that you've got to show what's happening. You've got to let the listener experience what's happening. And in these dramas, it's very much, you know, a case of reported action. But what I've found, especially, you know, I mean, the message, it's only on its first episode, it's only about 13 or 14 minutes long. But I've listened to a lot of the Black tapes, and I was getting really into that. And a lot of the time, yeah, it was just reports of things that's happened, you know. You're generally not really experiencing too much in the moment, and it's still a lot of conversations. I don't necessarily think reported action is a bad thing. I think, like most things, it could be done badly. Yeah. But, you know, what can't be done badly? It's just about being creative with the tools that you've got. So I don't think that you should rule out reporting action. I do think that there's ways to do it creatively. I think these shows manage that.
I think definitely, because in the show, like the Black Tapes, it's somebody that's unravelling it as they go along, and we're on that journey with them at exactly the same pace. You know, history, there's so much history, and so much of it is really interesting to read about or to hear about, and nobody's going, ah, but this happened ages ago, it's irrelevant to me, I'm not interested in who killed who or what battle happened where. Of course we are. We're interested in history. So just because these events have already happened doesn't make them boring. It's all about the telling of the story. And I think that is key with going along with the person who's slowly uncovering the truth. There's obstacles to getting people to tell the truth appropriately. There are plenty of skeptics in the Black Tapes, which I like, that it's not just, oh, hey, there's ghosts, aren't there? Yep, we're all agreed then, ghosts. And it's not like that at all. It's like, well, yeah, no, okay, there's a shadow in this photograph, but that could be anything. So it's, you know, there's this up and down journey, and we're with them on it, and we're slowly unfolding it. And I do feel like we're getting close to something, even though it's only episode 2 that I've heard, you know? So there is still suspense there, because you feel like you're getting towards the truth.
I suppose as well, like any good story, you know, if the characters are strong and you're with the characters, or you're strongly against certain characters,
yeah,
you know, that blows everything else out the water at the end of the day. Character, for me, is everything. You know, if you don't have good characters, it's just not going to be worth listening to. Just something I'm thinking of there, you know, we saw maybe 10, 15 years ago, we saw a big explosion in sort of found footage docudrama style films, or you know, films like the Blair Witch Project when they emerged,
and Cloverfield and the likes.
Yeah, and you know, this is an opportunity, I think, to use techniques like that to maybe bring some action into, if you were making a docudrama type show, because you've got things like you could use, say, a character's mobile phone footage of an incident. And, you know, the Black Tapes does stuff like this. There's CCTV footage and found footage as well, you know, like we've mentioned. So there's this chance to bring action into the production by having your character, your whoever he is, you know, or whoever she is, your podcast host or your investigative journalist,
yeah,
looking at footage, analysing it, things like that. So there are opportunities to actually get some action in there as well, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. And just because you're living it through that person that's observing it, they're living it through the phone or through the camera that they've picked up. So then you're reliving it with them. And again, it's all about being in the moment with the protagonist, really. So I think there's a lot of scope there, especially for us, you know, because the story, I don't know if you've seen Cloverfield. Have you seen it at all?
Yeah,
you have. You know how it works for a while, but then after a while you're like, come on, you would just put the camera down, the big bulky object that you're holding at shoulder height, in order to observe the biggest threat to mankind that has ever been witnessed. You'd put the camera down. Whereas if a big fight happened in a room with a tape recorder going, then, you know, the tape recorder's just sitting there. Nobody's having to hold it at shoulder height. So I think that could be a lot more believable, that something is recording all this audio-wise or whatever. So, yeah, get thinking, folks.
Here's another thing, and this is kind of a good segue into the next part of the discussion. I think pretty much in terms of the message, you know, it's no... there's no denial that that's a fictional piece. Certainly there's no denial both of them are fictional pieces, but the Black Tapes, as far as I know, the creators of the Black Tapes won't come out and admit that it's a fictional piece. You know, there's nowhere that they've admitted that it's fictional. It obviously is fictional.
All right.
But it's, you know, they, as far as they're concerned, they're doing it as real. And what I've noticed with this is, and, you know, people are, I checked out the reviews for both shows, a lot of good reviews, but, you know, you've got the token one-star reviews here and there from people who are angry that it's actually fiction. And, you know, that's, it begs the question, like, is there a problem with something being fiction nowadays? You know, not for most people, but a few people generally quite upset that, you know, this is a fictional piece. And I was thinking, like, are we beyond fiction now? Does nobody go to the cinema? Does nobody watch the TV? Is fiction gone? Because that was the impression I was getting. But, you know, are you inviting that if you're making a piece of audio theatre and not admitting that it's fiction? Why are you not admitting it? Because, like, that to me, you almost invite that.
Mystique, I guess. I mean, you could draw a parallel here with professional wrestling, which right up until the late 80s, from, I think, the 20s when they first started arranging the outcome, they portrayed it at all times as real when it wasn't entirely real. It's scripted. And then it was only once it got to the late 80s when people became a lot more savvy about these things, and they had to admit, okay, well, it's, you know, it's scripted, but just go with it, enjoy it. And it wasn't the end of wrestling. Wrestling has gone from strength to strength. I don't know how popular it is now, but it's still a multi-billion pound industry. And, you know, we know it's scripted, but people are still willing to enjoy it and suspend their beliefs. So I don't see why they're having a problem with it now. I think there's just the odd person that likes to poo-poo things.
Yeah, well, that, like I say, that does bring us nicely onto the next topic, because if you listened to last week's episode, a brilliant interview with Fred Greenhalgh, and we were talking about the making and release of Lock and Key, and, you know, that went out on Monday, it was. This is Friday, time of recording, so it's been out for 5 days now. And what I should have said on last week's episode was that, because you can get this for free until the 4th of November, and I should have said, if it wasn't already obvious, that please take time to nip on Audible and leave a good review for this, because, you know, Audible are going to be keeping an eye on this to see if audio drama is something that people essentially like. And then, you know, if they do, they're going to make more of it, and that's great for all us, because we're the ones that make audio drama, so who knows what that would lead to in the future. But curiously, you know, I've been monitoring the reviews on Audible, and in the main they have been exceptionally positive, which is great, but you always want to check out the negative reviews and, you know, to see what they're saying. And, you know, some of them are just out-and-out cretins, aren't they? Like, one guy claimed that this is the worst thing I've ever purchased. Purchased for free.
This isn't a roadmap of Australia. 1 star. Yeah. Like, well, I'm sorry, it's not a roadmap of Australia.
And did that guy listen for 20 minutes? I mean, this thing's 13 and a half hours long. Yeah. He listened for 20 minutes. But no, he'd purchased it, and he was going to speak his mind.
Yeah, so. It was violent. So, and he gave one star out of five for the story. How much of the story did he hear?
He heard the, like, opening credits. But, you know, I'm not against constructive criticism. This wasn't. But, like I say, a lot of the negative reviews, and we were chatting to Steve about this as well, Steve Schneider, a lot of the negative reviews were based on the fact that Audible, and maybe they have to take a bit of the blame here, and I don't wish to poo-poo them because I think they're doing a brilliant thing with this.
Yeah.
They're marketing it as an audiobook. And I'm not sure, again, it comes down to maybe they just don't feel people are ready to go full out audio drama, but it's like, you know, a motorbike garage who somebody comes in to buy a motorbike and they give them a really, really good car. And the person marks them down because, you know, it's not a motorbike. It's a great car, but it's not a motorbike. Audiobooks and audio dramas are two different things. Yeah. And I don't, the negative reviews aren't judging the audio drama on how good an audio drama is. The negative reviews are judging an audio drama on the fact that it's not an audiobook. And I think that is a big problem here.
The new four-wheeled motorcycle, complete with roof and drinks cup. Yeah. It's a shame. They obviously have to call it an audiobook because people know what audiobooks are and they like audiobooks. So therefore, call it an audiobook to make sure people listen to it. But at the same time, we need to make this transition, you know, from audiobook to what it actually is. I'm hoping that there will be enough people that think it's an audiobook and listen to it and like it anyway and think, yeah, I want more like that. That's even better than audiobooks, you know? But so I can understand from both sides. I don't know, what would you do? Put it in the description? Audiobook asterisk, and then underneath put, well, it's actually more of a full cast audiobook, but without someone reading the book, just the cast doing it. Do we call it Movies for Your Mind, which I've heard somewhere?
I'm pretty against all this, like, renaming of audio drama. Like, to me, audio dramas, you know, it's a fine term. It does. Yeah. It's like there's a big debate, or there was a big debate in podcasts, and it's kind of dead in the water now. It's a bit like the Flat Earth Society. There's a few people holding on, but people said, you know, the name podcasting just won't do. It has to be internet radio. It has to be an audio blog. It has to be, you know, all these things. And, you know, podcasting, it's called podcasting. And I think in audio drama as well, there's a lot of this, like, oh, it's movies for your ears, it's, you know, all this. And that, those are fine as descriptions, but that's never going to be the name of this medium. I think the name's fairly established now. Sometimes I'll stick modern on front of it, you know, modern audio drama. I tend not to use radio drama just because I think it has those archaic connotations, you know, the old time radio.
Can I say as well, I'm not going to give away too much of it, but in the Black Tapes there was this bit where she said, oh, it's for my podcast, and the guy goes, oh, what's that? And you could sort of hear her internally sigh and say, oh, it's digital radio available for on demand. You know, it's some sort of term that would get it across and he could understand it because he didn't know what a podcast was. Like, she didn't want to say radio because it isn't on the radio, but oh, you know, it's like digital book or something, you know, or sound book. It's a sound book.
But, you know, there's no shortcut to this sort of thing. You know, it's a small medium. It's very small. Very few people know about it nowadays. And renaming it isn't going to speed up the process of doing anything about that. I'd far rather people concentrated on, you know, just introducing the medium to people rather than trying to come up with a different name that somebody might immediately find attractive, because that's not the way it works.
We know what a radio drama is. It's fiction on the radio, so why not audio? That makes sense to me, audio drama. If we keep using it, I guess it will hopefully eventually catch on. So would you call this docudrama then an audio drama?
I don't think so. I don't think I would. I think there's some differences. It could be splitting hairs, but at the same time, you know, I think...
There's enough of a difference that you would be catering for one person's taste and not to the other.
Yeah, I think that medium deserves to stand on its own, in the same way the audio drama deserves to stand on its own. I think there are massive crossovers, much more so than, you know, crossovers between audiobooks and audio drama. I love audiobooks, you know, I really do, but they're a totally different thing. And I think there's too much, you know, there's too much confusion in the mainstream about which is which just now. And that, like I say, that's why we're seeing people given poor ratings to an audio drama, because it's not an audio book. You know, it's like I say, it's like rating a car down because it's not a motorbike. Well, they're two different things.
Yeah, I guess it all comes under audio fiction, and they're all subsections. Like, there's this huge subsection which is audio drama, and there should be its own niche for found footage type audio. What were we calling it? Docudrama. So I guess it all just has to become popular enough that we know of enough examples so that we can say, yes, these 10 are over here and these 10 are over there, you know? Maybe that's the way forward. Let's just keep making more and more things and we'll be able to see by numbers which is which.
Yeah, well, good discussion, and we'd love to get your point of view, so get your emails in, get your opinions in. podcast@audiodramaproduction.com, that's the email address where you can do that. I think that's that for the main topics of the show. Just a couple of things as well we had to mention. I made a mistake on last week's show. I said that World Audio Drama Day, I said it was the 31st of October. It's actually the 30th, Friday the 30th. There's quite a lot happening for that. Check out the website, Audio Drama Day. Is it audiodramaday.com? Should have put it in my notes. It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, don't ask me. I don't know.
I'll just make a mistake every single episode in the lead up to this thing. But the link will be in the show notes. But there's quite a lot going on, so pretty exciting. Hopefully we can, it was podcast day a couple of weeks ago there, and that was, you know, obviously that's a lot bigger. But yeah, it was trending on Twitter and everything like that. So it'd be great if we can see, you know, a smaller version of that success happen. And everyone can really get behind it and push it. And let's see if we could maybe get a few new people listening to some shows.
Yeah, maybe we can do something in the run-up to it. Like, I don't know, go over our favourite shows. Maybe something on the website or even just in the Facebook group. Like, hey, everybody, what are you planning to do in the run-up? Are you going to listen to your favourite shows? Maybe review some stuff. Maybe we could all exchange ideas on what else we could be listening to. Maybe there's something that I've heard that nobody else has, and I want to share it.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, get in touch with us and let us know what your plans are for Audio Drama Day. Are you going to be releasing anything, or are you got anything maybe in your local community planned? Because we'd be interested to let everyone else know about it. The last thing on the agenda this week, again, at the end of the show last week, I mentioned a wee note of thanks to the Knights of the Pledge who support the show on Patreon, and we're actually inducting a new knight this week, straight after that episode went out. A good friend of ours, Mr. Michael Hudson, one of the Aftermath OGs.
Yeah.
So he's got his armour on and he's sitting at the old Patreon round table. So thank you very much, Michael. We really do appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very, very much indeed. And we'll be able to eat meat this week, won't we?
That's it.
Yeah. And
possibly buy a pint, I don't know.
Maybe. Depends what a pint of, not the good stuff. But yeah, thank you very much, Michael. And it means that we'll be able to keep going for quite some time. And the other way of making sure we do that is by coming to us with ideas for the show, things to discuss. What's on your mind? Let us know. podcast@audiodramaproduction.com.
Yeah, that's it. Please, you know, if you want to be interviewed on the show, if you want to talk about your latest project, or if you've got a bee in your bonnet about something and want to have a good rant, please get in touch. We'll get you on the show and have a wee chat. Like I said at the start, please send in your intros for the podcast as well, because I think we're out of them. And, you know, finally, if you've got 2 minutes to nip on iTunes and give us a wee review. We might be able to compete with some of the old docudramas out there who get loads of reviews.
Yeah.
So, if you can do that for us, that would be super.
Can you imagine? 1 star out of 5. The story was rubbish.
These guys are such bad actors.
Yeah, aye. I bet they're not even sitting in a car. It's horrible. Can't hear their footsteps or anything.
And those phony Scottish accents.
Yeah, gee. Yeah, gee, Matthew. We're sitting here next to the sidewalk. No. Yeah, so, yeah, please do. Leave us a review. We'd love you for it. And we'll give you a mention on the podcast because I'm sure that'll make your week.
Yep, so podcast@audiodramaproduction.com. Audiodramaproduction.com is the website. And until next week, I guess, see you later.
Enjoy the autumn. Halloween's a-coming.